You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
Verse number 27. Let's notice Numbers 14 and start reading at verse 27. Of course, the Lord has been speaking to Moses and Aaron, and he is saying through them, beginning at verse number 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. And all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. God says, I'm going to allow everyone that's 20 years and older to die because of your complaining. Notice it again. He wants them to know in the latter clause of verse 27, I have heard the complaints. I have heard you. I've been listening to you. And can I say that God listens to us at times when we are really unaware that he is listening. And his ears, of course, are not like human ears. For God can hear not only the lowest of audible sounds, but God can actually read or know the heart, even the intent of man. Woo! Good God Almighty. Then he says in verse 30, except Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Notice in the book of 1 Corinthians and the 10th chapter. Notice the book of 1 Corinthians and the 10th chapter. The book of 1 Corinthians, of course, is in the New Testament. So we're turning to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. And we're starting to read at verse number 10. And we'll conclude at verse number 11. Notice 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. The Bible, 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, the Bible reads, nor complain. He's telling them what not to do. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Notice that the Bible is clear when Paul looks back at what took place in the wilderness. Of course, he is speaking to the 21st century church or the New Testament church. Yet Paul uses an example from the Old Testament. So you have to be careful when folk tell you what the Old Testament is done away with. The Old Testament has no use, but I beg to differ. Because even here, Paul looks back thousands of years ago in dealing with the church at Corinth. No doubt Paul was dealing with some complainers. And so he's telling them that we don't need to complain. Again, in verse 10, as some of them also complain, he reminding them that they were destroyed by the destroyer. But then I love what Paul said in verse 11. He said, now all these things happened to them as examples. Oh, okay, so they were our examples. And if we take seriously the example that God has given to us, then it's not really hard to understand what needs to take place today. And that is that we need to stop complaining. Based upon all that I've said, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor this morning, say the subject this morning, stop complaining. Look at one more person, tell him of the subject this morning, stop complaining. Tell two more folk the subject this morning. Mm-hmm. Let's give God a praise for our subject this morning. Come on, we can do better. Let's clap our hands. Thank God for the subject. Stop complaining. Amazing, because last week we dealt with stop crying. Good to hear when you come into a service that what God has spoken is yet still embedded in people's spirit. Because sometimes as church folk, we can get happy about a word. We can get excited about what God is saying, but then we let it go, or we lose the word that God sent to change our life. Sometimes God sends a word and we know within that moment that that word is just for us. But yet 2 weeks later, that word is not relevant. That word is not with us in the manner that it needed to be. I love what David said. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have to understand that there are certain messages that God sends that it doesn't need to leave our being or our spirit in order that we won't sin against God. If you're not careful, again, God can give you a word, and before the sun goes down, you're doing opposite of that word. Even though you shouted about that word, you amen that word. Matter of fact, you said it was your word. You called it a rhema, something that was just tailor-made, sent especially for you. But then you can find yourself, as I have, going through something, and yet the word is not registering the way that God desires for it to do. But then on the other hand, there are some of us that the word does remain with us. And we did leave here drying up some tears. And we did leave here confessing that we wasn't going to cry over certain things anymore. We actually growed up some last week. I wish I had some witnesses in the house. Was there anybody that the word helped you to grow up? The word helped you to see yourself. And so you stop the crying. But that word, again, has to continue in our being. It has to continue being a part of who we are from day to day. Am I right about that? Now, this morning, we're looking at stop complaining. And I want to say to us this morning that part of maturing, whether you're talking spiritually or naturally, part of maturing is recognizing when you need to stop doing certain things. I want to say it again. Part of maturing, part of growing up, whether you're looking at it from a spiritual or a natural standpoint, is when you begin to recognize, to understand when you need to stop doing certain things. How many know there comes a time in life where you have to stop doing certain things because you're too old to continue doing it? You've learned better, and so now I need to stop doing this right here. And nobody can tell us what we need to stop doing like God can, because I found something out about God that will always be, and that is that he knows us better than anybody else know us. Come on, somebody. I said he even knows us better than we know ourselves. And so anytime God says to his people that we need to cease doing something, we have to get on that immediately. That's not the thing that you want to put off for next week. That's not what you want to put down to be done on your calendar next month. But when God starts sending a word, when he starts saying to his people that we need to cease doing certain stuff, how many know we need to take God seriously? I said we need to take him seriously. Look at your neighbor and say, take God seriously this morning. And so again, part of maturing is to recognize when you need to stop doing certain things. And of course, whenever you stop doing certain things, it means that you're going to start doing certain things. And so in other words, God's going to deal with us this morning that we need to stop doing this. And I need you to start doing this. And sometimes you cannot be hard-headed when you're dealing with God. You can't be stiff-necked when you're dealing with God. You can't be rebellious when God is talking to you. Why? Because again, he know you better than anybody else know you. A person could have known you for all of your life, yet they don't know you the way God know you. And there are some of us that in public we appear to be one thing, but now God is going to deal with what he sees in private. God is going to deal with things that he is hearing that is not pleasing in his ears. And so he's sending a word this morning that is going to help every one of us to mature or to grow in the things of God. And don't sit there and act like there has never been a time spiritually and naturally where you recognize that you needed to stop doing certain things. The day for me doing that has to end if God is going to do in my life what he has promised to do. I've got to cease doing this in order to receive the promises of God. I've got to cut this out right here if I expect God to honor his word. Because it's never a thing to where you have to wonder if God is going to do what he said. No, God will always do what he said. He will always fulfill his word. He will always back his word. He will do surely what he has promised to do. But when God says to you, stop doing this, then that's something that needs to cease immediately. Woo! And God is so powerful. God is so sovereign that when he says to us, stop doing certain things, then that's something you don't even have to pray about. Oh, look at somebody say, you ain't got to pray about that. You ain't got to pray about that. Just stop doing certain things. God going to deal with you today. You don't need to tell nobody. I'm going to pray about what pastor said. Why in the world do you need to pray about what pastor is saying when pastor is coming from the Bible, which you claim to live according to? No, we need to stop doing certain things. Have anybody ever been mad, been upset, didn't want to let something go, and then God just whispered into your spirit? I call it a whisper because it's not a loud audible voice, and he just tell you it's time for you to stop being mad. Has God ever dealt with anybody like that? Has God ever talked to you and you had to frown on your face when he said it? You were ready to do some things, ready to say something, but then God just spoke to you real quiet again and told you it's time for you to stop being mad about that. It's time for you to move beyond that. It's time for you to stop allowing that to control you. It's time for you to stop letting them control your day. It's time for you to grow up and stop letting them ruin the day. It's time for you to stop being mad about petty things. That's not worth your time. That's not worth your energy. Stop being mad. And he says it to you because when you're mad and upset, sometimes it breaks focus on where your mind really needs to be. And so God will say to us, when he knows that we've been mad long enough, stop being mad. But today he's talking about stop complaining. Now when you deal with complaining, I want us to understand that it can be just. Complaining can be justified when we're dealing with people. Woo! Did y'all hear me? I said complaining can be justified when you're dealing with people. See, we can have a complaint against one another and it can be justified. We have a reason to complain. Am I right about it? Now, when I look at myself for an example, there have been complaints about me since I have been pastoring. And some of you are looking like, not you, pastor. And others are looking like, yeah, I know it, because well, I've been one of them. But that doesn't bother me, because I recognize that there are things that people can say about me as a pastor that I would have to be honest and say, I should have handled that better. I should have dealt with that better. That complaint is justified. But the one thing I can say about myself, when I have saw that a complaint was justified, I have went about over these years striving to do better. Striving to handle things better. And see, some of y'all got too quiet when I said some of the complaint was just. You got to recognize about your pastor that one of the reasons you pray for me daily the way you do is because you recognize as a pastor that I am yet imperfect. Woo, I'm not getting much love. I'm not feeling much love. Yeah, you got to pray for pastor because pastor is not God. And if you're shocked to hear that some complaints were valid, then I don't know what world you're living in. Because every now and then God has to show us that we are not him, that we need him. See, you can just go to thinking you know what to do, and God will let you mess up in order to show you. Just because you know Bible, son, don't mean you need to do X, Y, Z. Acknowledge me, and I'll show you how to deal with that. But sometime when you've been in God a long time, you just assume that you know what God wants you to do. But then God has to show you, this is why you need to pray daily. This is why you need to seek me all the time. I'm being real. As a father, Lord knows there have been complaints. And my children are out of the house now, grown, every one of them. But every now and then they still shoot a complaint my way. And most of the time I don't get them directly. I get them through the mama secretary. As a complaint that the children have against you. But I got to be honest again. Someone would justify. Sometimes I said things hard. To get back from them, Daddy, you show more compassion to the people than you do to your own church. The devil is a lie. You just need to Then you go off mad and go, I say the complaint is justified. Woo! Been with the same woman 30 plus years. Married old 25. Certainly have been some complaints that were just. Thought you would have been happy that I'm buying this. Haven't you bought enough? When is it going to stop? Only to hear God say, I'm doing something for her that I promised her that I would do, and don't get in my way. I'm giving it to her good measure. Press down, shaking and running. Her complaint is justified. And see, while you're looking at me, I want you to see yourself. Because there are complaints people have had against you that were justified. Am I right about it? Wave your hand if you know Pastor talking right. He talking right this morning. Even the most holiest people. Put your hand down, even those that are deep, that act like nobody ever complains about them. The devil is a lie. Again, I want you to get what I'm saying before I move on. There are complaints against us that can be justified. They are just. But whenever you find yourself in such a place, work on changing yourself. Work on being a better person. Whatever area, work on being a better husband. Work on being a better employee. Work Come on, somebody. Work on it. Work on being a better father. Work on being a better mama. Work on being a better wife. Work on being a... You got to put the work in. Because some complaints are justified. But you got to work on yourself. I need y'all to preach it to somebody because somebody ain't receiving it. Look at somebody around you and just say, you got to work on yourself. You got... It ain't sinking the way I need it to. Tell somebody else, you got to work on yourself. I'm trying to move on, but you have to recognize when somebody is not just complaining about you, but again, it's just they have a reason. But when it comes to God, we need to always understand every complaint against God is unjust. It's not right. See how we had to separate that? Every complaint against God, against the Most High, is always unjust. Always, Pastor. Always. Every single time. Now, the reason it's getting really quiet in here. You see how loud it got when we were talking about our complaint against one another being just and so forth. See, it gets quiet in the church when you talk like this because everybody wants everybody to think that we never have any complaints against God. Woo, Pastor, I have nothing bad to say about God. That's today, my brother. But we can't act like we ain't ever had a complaint against him. Y'all gonna let me take my time this morning? God, you ain't moving fast enough. You ain't taking this away. Why, God, are you allowing folk to do me the way they do me? We've had some complaints against him. Yes, we have. God, listen how quiet it is at Refuge. Coming off of a praise service like that. We was praising so much while ago, we was hot. It was warm in here. But now God has got things quiet. Because he wants his people to know that I hear you. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Because see, when it come to Israel, they complained against God. They treated God like he was bad. They treated him like he was a fraud, a scammer, someone who was dishonest. He promised to do something, but look at him, he's not doing it. He has the power to do it. But he's not doing it. Look what our enemies are doing to us. And God has the power to wipe the enemy out. But he lets the enemy do this to us. And so they complained against him as if he was bad. God being bad. God being a scammer, God a pretender, God not being who he says he is, God not doing for his people what he promised them he would do. You saying to me, God is fake? You who bragged about him in time past, now you see him as or phony. See, it's quiet in here. Let's deal with it. 1 Corinthians 10. Notice what the Bible said. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Paul has to remind the New Testament church that what you're doing, people have did before, and it didn't turn out good for them. I remind you of what happened to our fathers, how they complained against God, and he allowed the destroyer to destroy them. Now, notice what he said, because this is important. Now, all these things happened to them as examples. They happened to them as examples. And tell your neighbor, as much as we like to talk about good examples, recognize the importance of bad examples. I said, as much as we like to talk about good examples, people who show us what to do, how to do, and when to do, often God teaches his people through bad examples. Teaches us what not to do through examples that were before us. And let me tell you something. Don't slip on learning the lesson from bad examples. You say, Pastor, why is that so important? Because people have grown up with bad examples in the house, only to turn around and repeat the same behavior. Woo, to walk down the same path, to do the same thing. But God gave you a bad example that you might know the importance of being a good example. See, one thing I had to learn about God in the church and outside of the church is that he often taught me what I shouldn't do, to make me to be the man that I am today. He often set before me bad examples. See, it ain't nothing like seeing what a bad leader can do to a group of good folk. For you to look back and know you're going to get a turn to be a leader. Now, I had you sitting here to learn what not to do. Oh, God teaching right this morning. See, some of us, we be quick to move when things don't go our way. But you know God will give you a job. And it seems like the only thing before you is bad examples. But he don't want you pouting. He wants you learning. He wants you learning what you shouldn't be when he put you in management. Don't you be like this when I make you a supervisor. You see that stink attitude of that business owner? I don't want you to be like that when I give you your business. But you know what's sad in the church? Some of us, we're not learning from bad examples. You're too busy complaining, not recognizing this is for your good. Come on. I don't want to make nobody mad, but there are people been married 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Sadly, they didn't learn from the previous. I know I'm right about it. See that get quiet. Pastor, let's just flip on over that. We can't. We can't just flip by that. Because God wants us to learn from Israel's bad example. This is what you shouldn't do. This is how you shouldn't talk to me. These are the things you shouldn't say about me. See, it's quiet in the house. Yeah, it is. It's quiet. Look. Nor complain, as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, this word complain, in the King James, he uses the word murmured. They murmured. to murmur is to mutter. Y'all let me deal with it. Number one, it has to do with not just saying something, but saying it in a soft or somewhat quiet complaint. See, it wasn't like Israel was just out there, a million plus people just protesting in the streets, marching and so forth, and just shouting bad insanities at God and just insulting God and so forth. No, that's not how church folk complain against God. Isn't it amazing how when you're mad at God, yet you still know how to say to another church person, God bless you. God is so good. You ain't gonna walk up to no church person in God's sanctuary and just start blasting God. No. Look at somebody and say, no, you wouldn't do that. We reserve those complaints. We mutter those things. Y'all have heard the term, you said it under your breath. Anybody have been guilty of saying something and the person said, what did say what? I ain't, what you talking about? Oh, I thought you said, yeah, I'm just going on in here to get something to eat. See, we laughing, but see, that'll work against a person. Because of the limitation of their hearing. Woo! But once you mutter something against God, no matter how low the decimal may be to you, God says, every time, I heard you. I'm hearing you loud and clear. You remember what he did to Sarah? He checked Sarah. You know what Sarah said now? She tried to say it so low that God didn't hear it. But God said, you did say it. Woo! Then she tried to lie to God. I did not. God said, yeah, but surely you said it. I wish y'all could see some of the faces that I'm getting. It just make me want to come out there and just ask each one of you individually, what have you been saying? But I won't because you wouldn't tell me. Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I just know the word is good. God amazes me how he knows everything. And don't think I'm just talking about y'all because he's dealing with me. Because remember now when we talk about complaining against God, that it doesn't have to be audible. Doesn't have to roll off your tongue. Same bad thoughts you've been having about God for months. He's not dealing with it. Number two, it's an almost inaudible utterance. To murmur is to secretly say this, that, and the other. See, what Paul is saying to them is that way back in the wilderness, the Most High heard what was going on in every tent. He was listening. He was listening to what was being said in every single tent. He's been listening to what has been being said in every house. Because we don't live in tents. He has surely visited 80 hidden lakes dry. And he has heard everything. Woo! He's heard it, y'all. He's heard it. Every low complaint. He's heard. What you say against me. I know in this moment what you think about me. And now he's letting his people know that I have heard your voice. Look at Numbers 14. Ooh, I don't know if it's ever been this quiet at Refuge. I don't. I'm just being honest. I'm just going to keep teaching until the Lord just say, hey, that's it. Enough. But I don't know if I've done. It's been a while since it's been this quiet at Refuge. Because y'all know sometime we can be a trip. I said we can be a trip sometime. We can look at all that suffering Jesus went through. Woo, we'll do our communion. We'll do our fasting and so forth. As we look at the cross, the whipping post, and the betrayals and all that he went through. And we'll tell him how much we appreciate what he endured. And then the moment that he starts letting us feel a little bit of it. It's amazing how fast we change on God. Help us, Jesus. Continue helping us. Numbers 14, notice verse number 27. Stay with me because we're only teaching it. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Now notice, God deemed their complaints to be evil. You're speaking evil of me. And a lot of times God's people will complain about God by way of complaining about God's leadership. Now, as I said earlier, as a pastor, there have been just complaints. But can I say now that there have also been unjust complaints? People not liking the word. They not liking the counsel. The people don't like the direction we're going. They don't like the things that they're seeing in the sanctuary. And they're blaming me. They think I'm at fault, God. But God said, no, Moses. Their complaint is against me. They're not really mad at you. They're mad at what I said through you. They wanted me to side with them. I use you as my prophet to rebuke them. They wanted you to give in, but it wasn't up to you to give in, to approve or to disapprove, only to set my will in order and to say to them that that's not what I called them to be. Look at your neighbor and say, the next time you get mad at somebody God's speaking through, oh, shout to him, check yourself. Check. Tell somebody, check yourself. It might be your spouse. Check yourself. It could be a minister. Could be a deacon up here. Notice what he says. Come on, let's deal with it. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. What did they say to God? They kept muttering to God that you brought us out here to die. You didn't mean what you said when you said you would work it out, because it is not being worked out. You said it would end good. And all I'm seeing is bad. And then God decided on that day that I'm going to give them what they've been saying. They've been saying they were going to die. And so I'm going to give them what they asked for. She don't think I've been a very present help. I will step back and help her no more. See, this is the real God right here. This is the God preachers fear to talk about. They're afraid to teach about this God and how he will get fed up sometimes with his people tripping on him. And so now he's dealing with them through Moses. He says in verse 29, the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. And all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, you're going to die. It wasn't my plan for you to be here forever. Y'all better listen to me. Sometimes the reason people get stuck in a certain place is because instead of obeying God and pleasing him in that place, there's a place we gotta please God in that can be very painful for you, can be very uncomfortable for you. But in that place, he wants you to please him. He wants you to please him in this place so he knows and understands that he can trust you in this place. But it is often in our wilderness journeys where we get stuck complaining, as if God is not going to make good on getting you to where he promised that he would take you. What am I trying to show us? That sometimes we get so caught up in complaining that we actually miss that the wilderness is not a mistake. You know, it's something about being in the wilderness that, man, you'll look at God and say, I shouldn't be here. I've been a faithful pastor. I fasted and prayed. I shouldn't have to experience this. No. Ooh, ain't it amazing about God that he'll have you right where he wants you? But you'll be throwing a tantrum, having a fit, trying to break out of this place. But God say, I got you there that I might humble you. I got you there that I can get your attention. He'll put you here so that his voice becomes more important than any voice in your entire life. And he'll say, you go stay here until I know you know how to hear from me. I'll keep you here until you stop crying. I will make you live what you sing. I will keep you right there. And he had them. Look at verse 36. I said he had them. Woo! I said he had them. Notice verse 36. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But notice this, leaders influence people to complain. Tell your neighbor, check out the text. Complainers gather together. They hang together. Ooh. See, the leaders influence the people to think bad about God. Did you get that? See, that's when you have to be careful what folk bring you. I don't know who you think I am, but God going to do what he said he would do. Now, I'm not going to entertain this complaining. Ooh, no, brother. He got you growing up. You got to grow up, brother. I'm not going to entertain you pouting about your situation. Tell your neighbor, be careful, be careful, be careful. know what people bring to you. Because folk have a way of complaining about God on what we call the sly. They ain't quite saying that he all bad. But see, you got to check people because there's no bad in him at all. I don't care what you going through, sister. Care how much you poke your lips out. I will not entertain your pity party. No, I will not give in to you. Pastor knows something wrong. He ain't even called. It's the reason God ain't allowed me to call. It's the reason he hadn't allowed me to set up a meeting. He know you need to stop. Are we being helped? Bible say they died by the plague. But I need you to notice something. And I know y'all say, Pastor, we're skipping, but we're skipping for a reason. Notice back in Numbers 14, in verse 23. Notice this now. Because I got a shift from dealing with complainers. And tell your neighbor, because when it comes to complainers, like it or not, you're going to always have them around. Come on, I'm moving in the close. You're going to always have somebody talking bad about God. Saved and unsaved. Come on, you know I'm right. You can turn on the television and they blaming God for wars. They blaming God for pandemics, blaming God for diseases. Come on. Everything bad happens out here. There's somebody that want to lay it at the feet of God. But I remind you, as God's servant, God is not bad. God is good. Wow, and he's good all of the time. So in the midst of it, what we have to learn is that we need to have a different spirit. Yeah, Pastor, she complaining. But I'm going to have a different spirit. See, when you stop complaining, you recognize about yourself, not your brother, not your sister. You recognize about yourself, I need to take on a different spirit. God dealt with me on something that happened yesterday. Caught me off guard. And I didn't really handle it the exact way I wanted to. I didn't handle it bad. But it wasn't until I got home and got by myself that God said, I need you to take on a different spirit. I need you to take this on. And I need you to give this situation holy. Completely to me. Can I teach it right? Because sometimes we can't love the way we need to love. Not when folk hurt you. You want to do it. No, you need to do it. But if I don't take on a different spirit, I can't do it. I can't do it. Because to really be saved, it is to really say about your life and every area of it is in his hands. So when you get to not liking something about your life, see, that's a complaint against the one who holds your life. I said more than what some of y'all heard just then. That's for people who truly committed to God fully. Then they recognize everything's happening with me. Everything's happening to me. Everything's happening against me. He's controlling all of it. I'm trying to move, but some of us, you don't believe that. And when you don't believe it, You can't take on a different spirit. And you can't please God in what you're going through. But notice, number 14 and 23. God help me. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers. Nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. God called their complaining their rejection of him. And what I wanted to do through her, she's rejected me. I was going to use her to help hurting women. But she's rejecting me and how I'm choosing to do it through her. She's rejecting my way to do it. All she's concerned about is getting married. She's rejecting my way of doing it. They just so busy trying to manipulate their spouse about this, that, and other. They're rejecting the way I want to do it. They're so busy being young and being about doing what they want to do. They're rejecting my way of doing it. But then he said in verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Listen, in the midst of all that complaining, God found two people who refused to complain out of a million plus. Did y'all just hear me? Out of a million plus people, God paid attention to two people. And said about one of them, he has a different spirit. What did Caleb know about God that we don't know? Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Has he spoken? Will he not make it good? No. God got power to make it good. Why am I complaining? And he got power to make it good. Caleb just said, I need to take on a different spirit. And no, he's not a fraud. He's not a scammer. He's not phony. Ain't nothing about him crooked. He'll do just what he said. And why is God showing up at Refuge this morning preaching this message? He wants somebody to know who has a different spirit that he's going to do everything he said plus. He going to do an Ephesians 3 and 2. I got to close, but I thought somebody was going to get happy to hear that God know you have a different spirit. You're not like the rest of them. Caleb and Joshua, God brought them into the promised land. This is where you need to stop complaining. Because though it tarry, I said, though it tarry. I said, though it tarry. Though it tarry. Though it tarry. Bible said it'll come and it will not tarry. See, he uses two different tarries right there. When he first said it will not tarry, God is saying to us, it might be delayed, but it will never get stuck. It will never. I gotta let it go right here. When they walked in the promised land, Caleb went up to Joshua and said, look here, I'm 85. I'm 85. Caleb said, I'm still strong. The boy didn't get it until he was in his 80s. But he never gave up. He was a senior citizen, but he didn't give up.
Caleb said, one day I'm going to have my own house. And he didn't give up.
He was 85. I know I got to go. I'm over time. He was 85. Went up to Joshua and said, you know what God promised me? You know what he said he would give me? The land in Hebron. He gave me the mountains. He gave me that up on the hilltop. And Caleb let Joshua know, as I was then, I'm still strong. I'm still able to go up in the mountain and run the giants out. In other words, I want what God has for me. I want it. I didn't complain about it. If you take on a different spirit, and I'm only talking to people right now that you've been dealing with things, complicated things, God is saying today, take on a different spirit about everything. And he said, and know about me that I will surely do everything I promised to do. I want you to know, Sister Tamika, and I ain't got time to go there, but God said in the word that he kept Caleb and Joshua alive until it was time for them to get what he promised. You know what that tells me? That if I really believe God, even death can't stop me from getting what God promised would be mine. Bible say he kept them alive. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But see, the problem with God's tripping folk is that at the very moment that he be keeping us alive, keeping us protected, we sitting over here complaining, don't even realize in totality what he been holding off. Just want you to take on a different spirit. See, God ain't like man. Man will tell you, if you do such and such, then I'll give you this. You just act like these 24 karat gold. And I'll give you this if you just do such and such. See, what man will do is make a promise. That same man will stand back and hope and wish that you don't do it. Because he don't want to give it to you. He want a reason to withhold it. God say, tell my people, I'm not like man. I don't just make a promise, but I love to fulfill that promise. I love to make it good. Put it in your hands. Not one prayer has gone unheard, mother. Not one. Not one. You didn't get this far complaining. You got this far by praying, by trusting in a God that you can't see. And now that all hell is seemingly breaking loose, God said, you steal that woman. Take on a different spirit. Some of you were hurt by people that don't even know in totality why they did what they did. God said, take on a different spirit. By faith, I just want you to stand. Never did this in my life, but by faith, I want you to just stand and simply breathe. Hallelujah. Allow the omniscient God to help you right now to take on a different spirit. Have a different mindset. Have a different attitude. Refuse to complain. And when you recognize you're doing so quickly, repent. know that he's going to do everything he promised. Hallelujah, God, we love you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely he'll heal every broken heart.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.